What if I told you that in 100 years, thousands of diseases that we suffer with today will effectively be a thing of the past? Meet Robin, who's waiting for her vaccine in the middle of a pandemic. It's been prepared for her in record time. Impressive, given the latest virus was only declared as a concern weeks ago. Robin has a compromised immune system and would have been at risk if she'd got this virus. A few years before, she'd have been terrified by a new outbreak. This time, she's not worried. This is because Robin knows her vaccine is going to be really effective. It isn't just personalised for her, it's been pre-tested on her tissue, without her being injected with anything. She didn't even have to visit a lab. Robin's test tissue exists externally from her. Her stem cells are securely stored at a local facility, ready to be developed into new tissue as needed. Any potential drug is directly tested on her tissue to make sure it's effective and safe, as low risk as possible. This is the potential future for pharmaceuticals, one in which many more diseases are preventable, thanks to personalised medicine, and one in which Robin's stem cells are essentially her medical record, a part of her life. Robin's story hasn't happened yet, but it could. I'm Marnie Chesterton. I'm a science journalist, and I explore our big questions about science. I'm joined by Professor Emily Jackson from London School of Economics. Welcome, Emily.
Hello.
What do you do at LSE that links you to the story I've just told?
So I'm a professor of law and my area of specialisation is medical law. I think that the science that's currently underway involving using stem cells to create tissue, which can be used or could be used in the future to test medicines, is potentially incredibly exciting and interesting. And I just find the implications for society huge.
I want to go back to basics. What is a stem cell and what makes them so special and useful?
So our bodies are full of stem cells. So when you cut yourself, your stem cells will create new skin to cover up your wound. So we're growing new tissue all the time in ourselves. But the thing about embryonic stem cells is that they can become any tissue and cell in the human body, not just skin, as happens when you cut yourself. So that's what happens in the embryo. And what's really special about these cells that scientists have created is that they mean that any cell can be almost stripped back into an embryonic pluripotent-like state, which means that it can become anything. And in addition, they renew themselves. So even though the experiment might start with just one skin cell from somebody, that can reproduce itself over and over again indefinitely.
So you have a permanent supply?
Yes, millions of stem cells for as long as you needed them.
And is it possible currently to reprogram these stem cells to be anything you want?
There's research into a whole different array of tissues that are being made from stem cells. Scientists are doing work making brain tissue, placental tissue.
I've been to see some of the brain tissue, little organoids, these tiny little blobs. Apparently researchers get very attached to them.
Yes.
This feels like a massive jump from where we are now. This scenario where Robin has a bank of her stem cells that can be used to test any medicine that she wants. And she doesn't even need to get involved until she knows what the right medicine is at the end of all of it. How do we get there?
Yes. I mean, I think the idea of having a personalised bank of tissue that is used for testing all the medication you ever take is really quite far off. I mean, I think one of the reasons why is that that would be quite expensive. So for most medication, a trial and error approach is probably going to continue to be cheaper and more efficient rather than testing tissue made from stem cells every time you take a medicine. But for some medicines, this could be particularly important. So I think you might have somebody for whom lots of medicines are not safe, and this might be one way in which you could try to give them a medication regime that worked for them.
And then not just testing it on human tissue, but testing it on your tissue versus my tissue. Why might that make a difference?
You'd be able to tell in advance that a medicine was likely to be safe and effective for an individual. In the vast majority of cases where you're taking low-risk medicine for a short time, it probably is going to continue to be more efficient to prescribe in a trial and error basis. But there are some cases where it's really important to get the medicine right quickly. So, for example, in relation to treatments for cancer, to be able to pinpoint that a medicine is likely to work in the treatment of a particular person's tumour could be tremendously helpful.
And what would change if we did?
I think it would be hugely beneficial because at the moment, though clinical trials happen in human beings, before you get to clinical trials in human beings, it's routine to do testing on animals, which, though it can be incredibly useful, it's sometimes inaccurate because humans and animals are different. So if you were able to test medicines on human tissue, then you're likely to get more accurate results, as well as the obvious side benefit of not causing harm to sentient animals.
So how far in the future do we need to jump to have these tissues that we test medicines on?
Well, we already have them. So scientists in the UK are creating all sorts of different tissues from stem cells. So we have brain tissue, we have placental tissue, and these exist, and it would be possible to test medicines on them. What we don't have is the scaled up infrastructure to be able to do this in high throughput testing.
So can you talk us through some of the potential issues around control of human tissue?
So obviously, research on human tissue has been going on for many years, and there are regulations in place that cover human tissue research. Most of those focus on the protection of the donor's interest. There are requirements that the donor should give consent to the use of their tissue in research. And there are also really important provisions about data protection, so that obviously you might be identifiable from your tissue, and it's important that laboratories which are using individuals' human tissue in research protect their confidentiality.
Are there any other implications of this technology for drug testing?
Yes. So another thing that scientists are doing with stem cells is creating what are known as stem cell-based embryo models. These are like embryos. They might be just like a part of an embryo, or they might be like a more complete embryo. And scientists are currently doing this work. And the implications that this could have for drug testing is you would be able to find out whether a medicine might have a negative impact on a developing fetus during pregnancy. That's incredibly important because most drugs are not properly tested in pregnancy, which means that pregnant women often face very difficult choices about whether to stop taking medication they need or whether to expose their unborn baby to an unknown risk.
So stem cell embryo models, different to embryos, right?
Yes.
Are they regulated differently?
Yes, at the moment they're not specifically regulated. They're regulated in the same way as other human tissue research. But I think there's widespread agreement that we probably need to think about bringing them within some sort of regulatory scheme. And I think the public needs to be part of those conversations about what that should look like. Scientists are very keen on having regulation in place. And scientists in the UK have been working with lawyers and others to put together governance arrangements, which will be essentially a voluntary code of practice to cover this sort of research. And in the longer term, probably in the next parliament, there may well be legislation to deal with this. But I think we do need some sort of limits. And one of those limits would be probably some kind of developmental limit beyond which you wouldn't allow the embryo model to develop.
Okay. And any ideas about how close to full-term baby that limit would be?
It would be a long time before that. I think it has to be a limit with which the public feel comfortable.
But I can also see medical cases being made. If you develop the embryo slightly further, then you can see more about how this drug or that drug will react within the whole system.
But I think that's the purpose of regulation, is to put in place boundaries so that scientists know what the limits are, they can get on with their work, knowing what they can do and what they can't do, and the public can feel reassured that this research is taking place within a robust ethical framework.
All our views on this are important. The scientists working on this today want your help so they know what you care about. As the public, what benefits do we want to see from this research? What's okay and what's not? Where are our red lines? Everyone needs to be part of the conversation because this research will affect our lives and the future of generations to come. And it's fast moving, so we need the law to keep up. The time is now. We want to hear your thoughts. Share them with us.